It's Thursday, March 8th, 2012. I'm Jordy Morgan. Welcome to Maritime Morning. Can't you just feel the spring coming? Well, we've got a full show today. Gervais and Maureen Miller put in an access to information request to the RCMP about the investigation into their son's death. You may remember the case of Clayton Miller. Well, this access to information request was due to be returned last May, and they're still waiting, and they're getting a runaround. We're going to get their story and bring you up to date on what's been going on. The first volley in the mayoralty has been lobbed, it seems. Tom Martin questioning Mike Savage's commitment to the Port of Halifax in a piece in allnovascotia.com today. Martin says because Richie Mann is chairing Mike Savage's campaign, he's worried that Mike Savage might not be fighting for local longshoremen at Halterm and Saras. Well, is it an issue to you? And what do you think will be the big issues in the municipal election this fall? Is it just going to be about change? Or are there some key issues you'd like to see debated by the mayoralty candidates? For example, how about business assessments? Think there should be a cap? Well, we'll talk about that later on. Also, should the federal government step in and short-circuit a labor dispute at Air Canada? As we just heard in the news, thousands risk being stranded for March break if there is a work stoppage. We're going to talk with Federal Labor Minister Lisa Raitt coming up this morning to see if they will consider intervening in the strike, if there is one. Joseph Kony, a horrific character on the lam somewhere in the heart of darkness in Africa. He's been indicted for war crimes, is said to be responsible for things that stretch the limits of inhumanity. There's a renewed effort to capture him and bring him to justice. We're going to find out what this is about, who this person is, and try to get a sense of what his activities have been by an author who's been in the African jungle close by. Also, a public sector union says the Maritimes stand to lose 14,000 jobs if the government goes ahead with budget cuts. 14,000, you heard that right. We'll get their story. And we're going to finish up the day with comedian Brent Butt. He's going to be at the Rebecca Cone in Halifax later on this month, so we'll be finding out what he's been up to. Also, satisfaction with the NDP government is dropping. The new CRA poll says that while the NDP still holds the lead among provincial parties, the love affair with Daryl Dexter and crew may be on the wane. I've never really quite understood it, but we'll find out more from the folks at CRA. But first, Amy Graves' persistence in pushing to have her brother's death of an overdose addressed has finally paid dividends. Finally, after months of pushing this issue, a charge has been laid, and Amy Graves joins us on the phone from New Minas this morning. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. It must have been kind of a bittersweet week for you this week.
Oh, definitely. It was probably the most emotional week I've had since the death of Josh.
What happened? How did you find out about this?
I knew there was something coming. I just didn't know what. The police came to my door just before Christmas and let me know that there was good news coming. They had done a new investigation from an outside company that came, or outside police, I think it was Chester or Shelburne. They came and redid the investigation that New Minas supposedly did when he first passed away, and they told me that from that investigation that they redid, they were going to lay charges. They just couldn't tell me who, what, where, or when. And then so I waited from the middle of December until now, and it was Monday they came, or they called, and we went down to the police station and they informed us of all the charges.
It's interesting that they needed to bring somebody else in to do the investigation. Why do you suppose that is?
Because I know nothing really happened until I filed a complaint against the RCMP, because they told me the case was closed, and I didn't know how it could be closed because I had so much evidence myself, statements from people as a party. The party pictures, last I looked on Facebook, were still there. They've been there this whole year with, you know, all, I think there's like 40 people tagged in it. So it's no question who the police had to go take in for questioning, because all their names and pictures were right on the internet. I had given them to them, and basically at first they just told me, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do, we can't take these people in, we're not going to investigate, your brother did this to himself and it's done. And my argument was, I didn't even fight for the criminal negligence charges. I just said trafficking occurred. Obviously Josh didn't have a prescription, he had to buy those drugs from somebody. So at least we should be trying to figure out how drug trafficking occurred at this party. So that was my original fight, and then it snowballed into this after, you know, the toxicology report came back, and it proved that Josh had only taken one-third of a 30-milligram Dilaudid pill and drank less than a pint of alcohol. And he didn't even have marijuana in his system, no other drugs whatsoever. So the medical examiner could say that the Dilaudid is what killed him. There's no way the alcohol that he consumed on its own would cause him to pass. So they could actually pinpoint that it was the Dilaudid. And that was another reason why I filed the complaint, because the police told me that didn't matter at first. And I was like, how does it matter, you know? So, yeah, it turned into this, which is great.
In retrospect, do you have any sort of sense of why you think the police actually handled it the way they did? Looking back at it dispassionately, why do you suppose that they responded in the way they did when you first brought this to them?
Well, at the time, there was no awareness. There was nothing on the news about these prescription drug overdoses. It was pretty hush-hush. Nobody talked about it. Josh wasn't the first one. He was one of many. So, and I feel like the officers themselves may not have been properly educated. They're humans, too. We're all human. But my problem was when I questioned, you know, why were my brother's things given away at the scene? Why isn't the people who were accused of selling the drugs being questioned? Why isn't the people from the party being questioned? Then I just kept getting answers that I knew were flat-out lies. One officer told me, I said, well, how do you know Josh took it on his own if you haven't questioned anybody? Someone could have slipped it in his drink because you haven't asked anybody. And he said, no, Dilaudid is not water-soluble. That couldn't happen. And then I knew it was a lie because I know from research, Dilaudid is water-soluble because people inject it into their veins. You know, their eye, that's how they do it. They dissolve it in water, cook it up, and inject it. So that's when the big red flag moment went in my head. Maybe these people don't know what they're talking about, and I need to kind of go and keep pushing and keep asking questions.
These charges have just been laid. They haven't been proven in court, but they've charged Kyle David James Fredericks with criminal negligence causing death and drug trafficking for allegedly providing Josh with the prescription drug. I understand that the picture that you're talking that's on Facebook or that you referenced a little bit earlier, that there is, I guess, the last picture of Josh that was ever taken of him. Kyle Fredericks is in the picture with him, is he?
Yes, that's true. The last picture that was ever taken of Josh was with Kyle Fredericks. And they were all posted by Kyle Fredericks' girlfriend on Facebook for a public album. My family asked her. Now I'm glad she did it because it was great evidence. But in the beginning, my family even asked them to take them down because we just didn't want to see it. I mean, it's not something you want to relive. And they refused. They were up the other day when I looked. So I hope they're smartening up and have taken them down for their own good. I mean, it's just silly. I don't know why they would want them up there for the world to see anyway.
So where to from here for you, Amy? You've accomplished a great deal. I mean, through your efforts, I think you've raised people's awareness of drug overdoses, of prescription drug abuse in this province. Are you going to continue with your work in this regard?
Oh, for sure. I'm nowhere. This was one of my biggest goals, was to just get justice for my brother and so my family could move on and get some sort of closure. And just all we wanted too was the cops to come to us and say, you know, this is what happened. We did an investigation. Joshua took this drug from this person. He went home. Like, we never even got that ever. We were just left wondering and picking through town gossip to figure out what happened to my brother, you know. And you know how stories can get so twisted. And, you know, we just wanted to have a proper investigation for Josh, know what happened, and be able to move on. So that's definitely going to help me, but it still isn't going to solve the problem. I mean, and Kyle Fredericks, if he does go to jail, that'll be one less person selling pills on the street, but there's going to be another Kyle Fredericks right behind him if we don't, you know, investigate, because obviously he was getting drugs from a legitimate prescription. So it doesn't just stop with him. This is something that, you know, we got to dig a little deeper on.
When does this go to trial? Do you have any sense of that?
Yeah, he pleads on April 2nd. So I will definitely be there, and my family's going to be there. And I hope he pleads guilty, because basically, I mean, we knew his name came up the day after my brother's death. So it was no secret to us. I've had like 10, the statements I gave to the police for kids saying, I saw Kyle Frederick sell this to your brother. I saw Kyle Frederick sell, you know, your brother, the story of, you know, just story after story of what happened from that night. So I would be very surprised if he was found not guilty. So I think just for everyone's sake, I would hope that he would just plead guilty and, you know, make this easier. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see what happens on April 2nd.
Amy, thanks very much. We'll keep up to date on this, and we appreciate you talking to us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for following this, Jordy.
You bet. That's Amy Graves joining us from New Minas. There has been a charge laid in the death of her brother, Josh. Josh, who worked as an arborist in Alberta, and he volunteered at the Berwick Daycare Center, played Kentville Minor hockey for a long time, was apparently not a drug user, and the only narcotic that showed up in his toxicology report was the Dilaudid that Amy mentioned. He died as a result of that drug, and the charge has been laid of criminal negligence causing death and drug trafficking, those charges being laid against Kyle David James Fredericks. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about the political temperature in the province right now. Corporate Research Associates have released a new poll, and it shows that support for the government has slipped somewhat, although the NDP is still in pretty good shape. And we'll talk about some of the other numbers about the leaders, that kind of thing, right after this on Maritime Morning.
Maritime Morning with Jordy Morgan will return in a moment on News 95.7.
This segment of Maritime Morning is brought to you by Steel Chrysler on the Bedford Highway and Halifax Chrysler in Bears Lake. Always your best place and price.
At Steel Chrysler and Halifax Chrysler, March comes in like a lion, and you could go out with a Ram. Ram 4x4 trucks from the ridiculously low price of $19,995, up to 40% off. These are not the base trucks sold by other dealers. They're new Ram 4x4 SXT trucks with air conditioning, cruise control, power windows, power locks, mirrors, and satellite radio. Ram 4x4s from the ridiculously low price of $19,995. Only at Steel Chrysler on the Bedford Highway and at Halifax Chrysler in Bears Lake. See us for details.
Ms. Munchler, would you file these documents, please?
Oh, okay, after I take your temperature.
Why are you a receptionist?
Well, because I couldn't find a nursing job.
Then why didn't you go online and check out NovaScotiaJobShop.ca?
Okay, sir, take off your shirt and I'll take your blood pressure.
They have hundreds of local jobs, hospital, sales, IT.
Oops, sorry.
Your blood pressure just went sky high.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm going to need a specimen. Take this.
Get NovaScotiaJobShop.ca. Long name, amazing results.
I'm Richard Samways of Creative Group. Last year, when I received our annual insurance bill, I knew it was time to look for another provider. That's when I heard a radio ad for OTC Insurance Brokers. The lady giving the testimonial said that OTC saved her business thousands of dollars. So I switched. And just this year, OTC Insurance Brokers saved our company over $30,000. Thanks, OTC.
OTC Insurance Brokers will fight for you. Call 481-0700. 481-0700.
Coming this Friday to FX Canada. The coaches hate each other.
He's definitely insane.
The fighters, talented and hungry.
Losing, not acceptable. You win, you live. You lose, you die.
The prize, money and fame.
Fans are going to want to watch me fight again.
The event is live every week. The Ultimate Fighter Live, 2.5-hour season premiere, Friday at 10, exclusively live on FX Canada. Contact your local TV provider to order.
And now, a message from Janitor's Market, a division of Big Eric's Inc.
Did you know Janitor's Market doesn't just sell industry-leading commercial cleaning equipment? They sell equipment from the top suppliers and manufacturers in the market, such as Nobles and Protein. And they service and repair what they sell. Auto scrubbers, floor machines and polishers, carpet cleaning equipment and vacuums. Available at Janitor's Market, a division of Big Eric's Inc. 61 Rodal Avenue, Burnside. Call 468-8082.
This is Maritime Morning with Jordy Morgan on News 95.7.
Welcome back to Maritime Morning. What a beautiful day it is. Sun shining. It's supposed to get up around 12 degrees, and you just got to feel that cold coming out of the ground. A little bit of a thaw there. Well, things aren't too frosty down at NDP headquarters, I don't imagine, after the most recent Corporate Research Associates poll. Satisfaction declining with the government. However, in terms of voting intentions, things seem to be holding pretty much steady the way that they have for a while. What does this mean? And, well, what have we seen in terms of movement over the last little while? Joining us to talk about how the parties are faring in terms of public opinion, Margaret Brigley. She's the Executive Vice President at Corporate Research Associates. Hi, Margaret.
Good morning, Jordy. How are you?
Good. I know that Don Mills is normally with us, but he's taking a little well-deserved vacation this morning. So
that's right.
tell me about this poll in general. I know that you cover off the Maritimes. This is broader than just in Nova Scotia. Have you seen a great deal of movement across the Maritimes in this poll at all? Has it been something where we've seen any volatility, or are people just kind of, maintaining the status quo, if you will?
No, there hasn't been a whole lot of change throughout Atlantic Canada, and I think here in Nova Scotia, that's been one area where we did see a slight change in terms of overall satisfaction with the government. And when you look back, I mean, just a quarter ago, back in November, with the announcement in October of the shipbuilding contract, we saw, as you would have expected, a surge in satisfaction with the government. I mean, Premier Dexter was certainly front and center when that announcement occurred as well, so not surprising. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, again, back in November, and likely tied to that shipbuilding contract announcement, we saw an increase in consumer confidence overall. So now, a few months later, what we've seen is a decline in satisfaction and also a decline in consumer confidence. But I think perhaps it's more reflective of a little blip or in optimism, perhaps, with that announcement.
Well, that's very interesting, because we're seeing some other signs of optimism, if you will, in terms of the economy. There are other metrics that are being used. I mean, when we look at the real estate market, most people are saying that they feel that that's quite strong. So do you feel that this kind of flies in the face of perhaps some of the excitement around the shipbuilding contract, or some of the economic growth that we are seeing in some areas? We're starting to see development begin to pick up a little bit here in Halifax. What are your thoughts on why Nova Scotia residents would be less satisfied with the government now? And they say it's down. It's not down slightly. When you dip below 50%, it actually begins to mean something, for one. Mm-hmm. And it was a 7-point drop.
That's right, but it's pretty consistent with actually what it was 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Prior to that announcement, versus back in August, it was 49%. So, I think Jordy, we can't ignore the fact that to a certain extent, it's been a hard winter. We've had gas prices go up, home heating costs are high. I mean, you look here in HRM, and with the bus strike, Metro Transit, certainly there's a sense of frustration publicly as well in terms of that. So perhaps reflective of the overall economic conditions, not so much the optimism alone that's tied to that shipbuilding contract.
So again, what we should do is look at this over the long term and look at last fall as perhaps a bit of a blip in optimism, and now things are settling down into how people would sort of normally feel about their satisfaction levels.
That's right. And when we look at voting intentions, it really hasn't shown a change quarter over quarter in relation to the NDP party. So it suggests that satisfaction may have declined a bit in the last quarter, but that hasn't been reflected in declining support in terms of voting intentions for that party.
There people are saying, okay, I may not be as happy as I was with the government, but I don't really see an alternative yet.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that's interesting when you look at the satisfaction is that satisfaction levels are actually highest amongst the younger portion of the population. So those between the ages of 18 and 34 are actually more likely to be satisfied with the NDP government than those over the age of 55. And that's interesting as well.
Yeah, that is interesting. Tell me just a little bit about the parties themselves. We, as you said, somewhere around 44-45%. That's negligible. Mm-hmm. Slight increase for the Liberal Party. Any that's explanations right. for that? I mean, is it that the Liberals are being seen as doing a good job through the winter? I mean, the House isn't sitting wide. How do you explain something like that?
I think Stephen McNeil's been in the press a fair bit. He's been talking in the public, but I'm not quite sure why. But yes, we did see a change there in terms of voting intentions.
Could I posit something here for you? And that what we also have seen, because I saw Nick Nano's poll released recently, mm-hmm. and I remember when Don was talking about the poll that you did back in November, where there was a dip for the Liberals, and I think they've suffered that basically last year as well, that people still relate very closely the federal Liberal Party and the provincial Liberal Party. So we've seen a bit of an increase for the federal Liberals. Bob Rae has been doing a good job and whatnot. Do you think that too may impact the Liberal Party fortunes here in the province?
That could. It could, certainly.
Okay. Yeah. It seemed to strike me at this point anyway. Yeah. The Tories declining slightly there, about 4 points or so. Just, it's still within the margin of error, but mm-hmm. is that something that we should be looking at?
Well, actually, what's interesting, when we asked about leadership, which individual would you most prefer as Premier of Nova Scotia, this is an area where we've actually seen a change for the positive for Jamie Bailey in particular. And now we've got about 2 in 10 in the province. They're as likely to say Stephen McNeil as they are Jamie Bailey. So those two are preferred as leaders as Premier as much as the other. Daryl Dexter is still most often mentioned as the individual that they would most prefer as Premier, although that's down slightly since November, but again, consistent to 6 months ago.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we saw that's about a 7-point swing for Daryl Dexter, mm-hmm. and curiously, it pretty much reflects almost exactly the government satisfaction decline as well.
Again, I think it's reflective overall of we saw that little bit of a surge or a blip, as a result of the shipbuilding contract, and perhaps that increase in satisfaction and optimism, it just wasn't quite sustainable.
Mm. The other parties, I mean, we can't ignore them, although that the numbers are quite low in here. There's the Green Party, it's sitting in at around 4% or so, 3%, 4%. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much consistent. They have a constituency, and they do manage to maintain that constituency in terms mm-hmm. of these polls.
No, that's right. That's right. It's been no real change. Certainly, it's been flat year over year.
Mm. And I noticed that you also include Jonathan Dean of the Atlantica Party.
Yes, we've got 1% of the population that would most prefer Jonathan Dean as the Premier.
Okay, I do want to talk a little bit about the undecided here as well. And mm-hmm. There seems to be a considerable undecided level in terms of the voting intentions. I mean, in terms of preference of leaders, it's negligible. But in terms of the parties themselves, is the undecided, you think, significant in the fact that it's risen up to about 44%? Are we beginning to see the ground shift at all there?
Well, actually, year over year, it's pretty much the same. We typically see about 4 in 10 or so that say they're undecided, and when we ask them, which party they're most likely to lean to if there was an election, even if they are undecided, typically it breaks down very similar to the to those that gave a clear preference.
Margaret, thank you very much. Appreciate you spending some time with us this morning.
Great. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. That's Margaret Brigley from Corporate Research Associates joining us on the phone. They just had their most recent poll out as well, so we thought we'd just take the temperature of what's going on out there. Coming up on the program this morning, we've got an interesting and rather diverse bunch of stuff to talk about. Joseph Kony. There was a film that was actually screened last night. It's been re-released. It's a video that's on the internet about this character who is the leader of a ragtag group of individuals in Uganda, and it is really a horrific tale of some of the things that have gone on in that country. He is on the lam. He's been indicted for war crimes, and these people want to see him captured and brought to justice. We will tell you that story. We also have Lisa Raitt lined up. That is the federal minister of labor. We're going to get a sense of what's happening with the Air Canada dispute. There's a chance that they could go on strike as early as Monday, which will throw a lot of people's March break plans into chaos. Also, we're going to talk a bit about the mayoralty because Tom Martin has lobbed a grenade at Mike Savage of sorts. We'll find out what that's all about. And coming up next, Gervais and Maureen Miller. They put in an access to information request a long time ago. They're still waiting to get details on the investigation into their son's death. We'll find out what is happening there. That's all coming up ahead here this morning on Maritime Morning. Stick around.
Maritime Morning with Jordy Morgan will return.